The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, this is Michael Krause, and you are listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 255 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is soon-to-be second-time-around Boston Marathoner, Michelle Scribner-McLean.
If everything Esquire. If everything goes the way I have it planned, it won't be fast, but it will be. It'll be done. And I'm really sad that one of our guests will not be there with me this time, because I know he wants the purple jacket as much as I do.
Well, I know that his sights are for that to return. So
yeah, and I know. Just hit. Through your generosity and generosity of many others, including the same person on the podcast, I hit 89% of my fundraising. So almost there. So hopefully that'll be done soon and I can just focus on running. Yay. Yeah. So before we go on, I have a shout out, and it is to somebody named France Martineau, and she is from Montreal. And she
France, huh?
She's not from France. She may speak French. I bet she does. But she is from Montreal, and she is a listener of the podcast and has been doing her training for a 10K on the treadmill, because it's, I'm sure, if we think it's snowy in New Hampshire, it's probably a lot more snowy in Montreal.
Magnifique.
Oui, oui.
Magnifique.
So congratulations, France. Thanks for listening, and a shout out to you.
Shout out to you.
What are we talking about today, Mike?
I don't know. So we have two guests with us who are going to review the 2015 Disney Princess Half Marathon Weekend. First and foremost, she is making her first appearance on the Mickey Miles show. It's our friend Kathleen Pantaleo. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, good. And Kathleen is a brand new half marathoner. She That's did right. her first half marathon. Yay!
Yeah, first of many.
That's right. I'm hooked.
Good.
And also joining us on the show, who has done his 472nd half marathon, is the one and only Eddie McCoy. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back home.
We have a lot of snow here, but Eddie is a force of nature unto himself.
And Eddie keeps asking for snow, and we try to ship it down to him.
Yeah,
but
I know we talked about this off air, but Eddie sent me a very adorable picture of the snow that he had in Georgia, which I think shut down the whole state. It was about 7 snowflakes.
7 snowflakes in 2 days of school. Seriously. True story.
It was really funny. I was telling Eddie, were you saying it was 1 to 3 inches? And I was telling him,
we
probably wouldn't even have a delay here for 1 to 3 inches.
Oh, we got delayed and canceled for rain. Lots of rain.
Probably overreaction from last year, Eddie, you know?
Oh, yeah. You had a terrible time last year. But all right. But this is not the snow podcast.
Nope. We're talking about the Disney Princess Half Marathon Weekend that happened about a week or two ago. And we're going to go through the weekend and see how things were, if there were any interesting things that we should be aware of and thinking about towards next year's weekend. So let's start off, Michelle, with the Run Disney Health and Fitness Expo.
Yeah, so that happened on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I think it's pretty much the same expo experience as we've seen in the past. You know, it's at ESPN. You get your bib in one building. You go over to another building and get your shirt And Kathleen, was it your first expo ever?
Yes, it was.
Well, hopefully we prepared you on the podcast. Tell us what it was like for you.
It was really neat. I had never been to the ESPN Wild World of Sports before, and it was a really cool experience to walk from the bus so far away from where the expo was, but it was really cool to see everything and then see all the people that were there and everything that they had to offer. I loved that they had the footman there for, you know, with the red carpet rolled out, and it was just like a really cool experience to see everything and be with like-minded people. That was just really cool. Everyone was cheering everyone on, even on Thursday before anything started.
So you took a bus from the resort?
Yep.
Where were you staying?
Saratoga Springs.
And how did that go? How were the buses?
It was interesting to see where it was set up and where I didn't realize that it wouldn't be at a certain location. I guess I arrived and missed the sign where the buses would be located. But we figured it out pretty quickly. My mom was with me. So we headed over to the main building, and that's where the buses were. And it wasn't that long of a wait. It was very chilly waiting for the bus that morning. But as we got to the expo, it started to warm up a little bit.
So how long did it take you to get from your resort to the expo?
We probably waited for a half an hour. We just missed the bus. It was silly of us. We had literally just missed the bus. But then once the bus came, it was probably like a 7-minute bus ride, so not terrible.
Oh, wow. And did you feel all athletic and excited when you got there?
Yeah, I was like, wow, I'm really an athlete. Who knew? There was a football team or a baseball team practicing on the hill between the two buildings, and my friend's husband is a huge, I think it was a baseball team. My friend's husband.
You don't know the difference,
fan.
Kathleen?
Well, no,
different
I didn't
balls.
Know they were just running up and down hills, so I have no idea what they were practicing for. But my friend's husband was in awe of them, and it was hard to pull him away from watching them run up hills. To go into the expo, we're like, come on, Sam, we have to go get our stuff. But it was fun to watch him be so excited. He knew who they were, so I didn't.
It was the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
No, was it really?
Yes, they had just started. They had just started their spring training. That was the like 1 or 2 days before that.
That is so cool. I'm so out of the loop.
That's cool. So I just have one more question for you. I'm hogging all the questions here, Mike. Sorry. What did you think of the expo itself? Was there Run Disney merchandise? Did you buy any of that? What did you think of all the other things that you could buy as a runner?
I was overwhelmed with things that you could buy. I probably spent too much money, but I actually just washed my jacket because I bought the half marathon jacket. And I wore it every day last week and every day the week before. I was, like, so proud of it. But it's hanging drying, so I can wear it again. But it was really cool to see they sold tumblers and wine glasses and Dooney and Bork things. And there's tons of things. I saw this one gentleman who was purchasing, like, 7 Dooney and Bork bags.
That was Eddie. He was buying them for me.
It was either Eddie or it was Angel Ramos.
I was pretty amazed. I didn't even go near them because I knew I would want one, so I just stayed away.
So Kathleen, I need to ask you, as this was your first half marathon, when you were walking through the expo, did you happen to come across the shirts that said I did it?
Yes, I did.
Did you think about purchasing one, or did you think, oh my god, this could be bad luck?
I actually thought about it, and I said I didn't want to buy it in case I didn't do it, and I knew that I had it in my hand 4 times, and then I put it back, and yep. What talked me out of it, I talked myself out of it by saying that, well, it's not a tech shirt, so it's just a regular t-shirt, so I won't wear it running, but so I sort of thought that I didn't really need it, but I bought the bumper sticker that said I did it. The little square sticker to put on my car. I was like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's not that expensive.
You know what's funny? There are a lot of people who have been doing half marathons for a long time, and I still think that every one of us still says, you know, I'd like to buy that shirt, but I just don't want to take that chance. You know, they have so many races under our belts, but it's just, you know, I'm not sure. So I remember like when Michelle did Dopey, right as soon as she finished that Dopey, I bought her the shirt.
Yeah, that's the only one I have, yeah. And I really appreciate it.
Eddie, I was going to ask you, was there any New Balance shoes that were out there for sale this time around?
Yeah, there was. They introduced two new models in the Steamboat Willie or Steamboat Mickey type style. So yeah, they were there. There were plenty of them. I actually did not venture over there, but I saw them, and it didn't look like it was a huge line, and you could have walked in when I did at the expo. And when I went on Saturday, probably about almost at lunchtime, and all that stuff that Kathleen saw, I didn't see any of it. It was all gone.
Do you think the New Balance craze has kind of hit the on the downslide now?
I don't know. I think that at least these two new shoes, even though they're kind of dull like the other ones, are better than the last ones, and they're also cheaper. I think this went down to a different version of the shoe, and I think it was 145 versus the 185.
Oh.
So it was a cheaper version of a similar shoe. I mean, they're still popular. They just need... When they get back to the roots of what made them fly off the shelves, they'll sell just like they did.
Yeah, I think if they kept it around the 135 range, I think that they'll continue to do well. I really do.
Eddie, what do you think made them fly off the shelves?
I think because they look cartoonish.
Yeah.
They look Disney. I think when you bring in, it's just drab, and there's nothing exciting about the ones they have. Now, granted, you could wear them out and not be noticed and notice their Disney shoes, but that's... the part of it, that's what makes them Disney. You want them to be noticed. So I don't think this will be nearly as popular when they stop selling the other version of the shoe, which the other version of the shoes were still there this time, and that was a threat that they would not be there.
So before we move on from the expo, I'm actually wondering, Eddie and Mike, do you think we've lost some of our awe and excitement of the expo because we've been to so many? I know I really still enjoy and look forward to going to the expo, but I certainly don't spend a lot of money anymore. What do you guys think? Eddie?
Yeah, definitely for me. I try to get in the expo and out of the expo as soon as possible.
No browsing around?
Yeah, no browsing around. I literally made a point to walk in the general official merchandise just to see what they had, not that I was going to buy anything, just to see what the inventory was like. And this is the first expo in a while that I've seen the Dooney and Burke purses fly completely off the shelf and not be available on the day I went.
Can you pre-order them, Eddie?
You can. Mm-hmm. That is one item you can pre-order, and they were popular with all the princesses on them. So, unfortunately, I think I heard a lot of stories, like Kathleen showed, of guys and whatever showing up and buying the max of them, seven, and pretty much putting them right on eBay.
Wow.
And exploiting them. So it was a very popular design this year for this race.
Mike, what do you think? Is it less popular? Is it as exciting for you right now to go to the expo? Or?
Well, you know, I mean, I go there because I have to go there to get my shirt. But I think that if I need something like a gel or something, I'll go there. I like to check out certain things, but it's not as exciting. I'll tell you, I go there to, you know, maybe to stop by and say hi to Jeff and Barbara. If I happen to see John Hughes, like to talk with him. You know, Tara or Rudy. There's so many things that go on that weekend that there's very few times that you really get to talk with a lot of people. So I basically go there looking for them and, you know, talking with them, kidding around with them, and also seeing the friends. But it's not, I mean, I don't look forward to, I mean, I'm not a New Balance person. I'm not going to buy any new things. But you never know if you find some kind of a gadget that, you know, you might find useful. But it's not the same for me anyways.
Yeah, I kind of find an item and then I kind of circle back and end up buying it a few expos later, like those. Eddie, what are those sandals that begin with an O?
I think they're Ozio or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, oh, I like
them. They're the most comfortable.
They really no are. Doubt. They are. Very, very and I looked at those at Disneyland and I tried them on and then I had them on my mind when I came back. Kathleen, are you looking forward to going to another expo?
Yeah, it was interesting to see all the the running equipment that I didn't own that I purchased while I was there. I didn't have a running belt, so I bought a running belt. But it was cool to now know what's there, so I cannot pack 700 things in my suitcase in case I needed it.
That's right.
But I did. I learned from your podcast to bring the gels that I'm used to and not expect that they'll be there. So that was a good lesson that I didn't buy them there.
So I guess I want to ask, you know, before we leave the expo, was it crowded for both of you when you went? And can you tell me, like, Eddie, like, when did you go and how crowded did you think it was? And Kathleen, when did you go and how crowded did you think it was? Eddie, you first?
I went on Saturday at noon, around noon. So this is after the 10K and the 5K. It was very, very light. So I had no issues getting from anywhere at that point because basically everybody had picked it up except for the remaining half marathoners.
Kathleen, what about you?
I went on Thursday around probably 11, and packet pickup was not very crowded, but the store inside the first building was way packed. We probably waited online for 40 minutes.
And then the Run Disney merchandise.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's
and
okay.
Then when we went to the other building, there was no lines in the Run Disney merchandise, and it wasn't that crazy.
All right, so let's move on to the 5K. Now, neither one of you ran the 5K, but we were watching tweets and posts and Instagrams and Facebook updates, and it was pretty interesting because it was freezing. It was really, really cold. Kathleen, you were cheering. Can you tell us what it was like?
It was ridiculously chilly, and I remember they were giving away the heat sheets, and I found one in the garbage because I was freezing myself while I was a spectator, so I just grabbed it and used it.
The Mylar sheets, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was amazingly chilly, but it was sort of like what I'm used to. I did all of my training outside here in New York, so I was used to the coldness for that, but I don't normally stand around while I'm outside. So it was a little taste of home, but they put up warnings saying be aware of how cold it would be. So.
Yeah, it's the first race I remember them giving out the sheets at the beginning. That's interesting. And I think a lot of these races, they do tend to be tougher on the spectators because if it's cold, because at least we get to run around and,
right.
and warm up. Yeah.
And let's just say that Disney, when they do a theme of a weekend, the theme of this weekend was frozen. They go all out. Let's hope they don't bring a Haiti theme.
If anybody could control the weather, it's Disney, right?
Yeah.
All right. So now we head off to the first half of the Glass Slipper Challenge, which it was the 10K. And Eddie, I believe you took part in the Glass Slipper Challenge. So can you walk us through how the morning of the 10K was?
Yeah, the morning, once again, we're talking another chillier morning. It's very, it mimicked marathon weekend a lot
wow.
ways. It was a little warmer than the 5K, but still in the low to mid-40s, I believe, for the 10K. So everybody was bundling up and shaking. You know, they pretty much, they moved the areas like they did for marathon weekend. So the you go to the normal pre-race meetup area for the half and the for marathon weekend, if you imagine where it used to be back towards the stage where we used to meet up. And so the course is kind of, I don't know how to explain the area other than it's right in the main finish area. The family reunion area is where everybody was hanging out this year. And then we directly headed across to the left to go to the races. But anyways, it was cool. The race course was it was identical to what we ran in the marathon weekend 10K, which is basically leaving the Epcot parking lot, heading out for out and back into the backside of Epcot. You do the first 5K totally out of the park, and the one overpass, when the theming, they had the Elsa and Anna, just like they did last year if you ran the 10K. And I think they had it marathon weekend. I believe they were still on that overpass greeting all the runners. And basically, you hit the 5K point, you get into Epcot, you go around World Showcase, out towards the boardwalk, around the loop on the boardwalk, to the backside, to the International Gateway, to the backside, And then through Journey Imagination, you come back into Epcot, run towards Nemo, Living in the Seas, and then out the by a spaceship Earth and out the normal finish route. But as far as on the course, the biggest draw on the course that I saw a character was Princess Minnie was by the International Gateway, and she had a humongous line. So was the most.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry, Eddie. Do you remember any of the other characters?
Yes, the characters I remember. They had Anna and Elsa, like I said, on the overpass. Then when you made the sharp turnaround, I believe the Queen of Hearts. Or at least they had the cards, soldiers, at that. And then as you're coming back towards, towards Epcot, on the left they had Tinkerbell. And then I believe that was the only character that we saw until we got into the parks. Once into the parks, I remember Jiminy Cricket. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. There was a couple others in the World Showcase. There wasn't a ton. And I can't remember the other two.
So, Eddie.
But the lines were long.
Yeah.
The lines were really long for Princess Minnie. On the backs, they did have Goofy in a unique kind of an astronaut outfit. And he wasn't too bad. Most characters were manageable. Princess Minnie was the one that was not. It was just insane. Every other character we saw had a manageable line to it.
I think, Eddie, that the Princess Minnie positioning was an experiment. And I think that if you think back to January, where if she had been there, would there have been – you know how it gets – at least in mid-pack, it gets to be very much of a bottleneck in certain areas. And do you think that where they positioned Minnie gave that such a long line that it may have – made an impact in relieving some of the bottleneck possibilities?
Yeah, it may have, and I'll be honest with you, I ran it probably in the mid-pack to the back of the pack, and the spacing was pretty decent the whole race. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess it drew a line. I know we sent somebody running ahead when we were on Boardwalk who got in line, and probably about a half a mile before we even got there, and he didn't move probably, 10 feet from the time he got there. The line was so long. So, I mean, I guess people are doing it, but as far as the course conditions, I didn't find it crowded at all and very comfortable for the most part.
And I should give a shout out to our buddy Sam Ganau, who is handing out cookies to Mickey Milers on the boardwalk. Did you get to see Sam?
Oh, yes. Got to fish with Sam. It was... very happy to see him, and I know everybody that got a cookie loved it.
So, Eddie, I wanted to just mention, and we don't mention this as we should, you make amazing videos for all the races that you do. Are those public for people to go and see? Because I'm sure you did one for the 10K.
Oh, yes. Anytime I run, I'm trying to do a video at Disney, and you can always find any of my videos on a nice website that my good friend Eben Phil Vanderpool created for me called FastEddieVideos.com.
Awesome.
So,
you can actually see it. Great.
Yes.
And I just want to ask one more question about the 10K before we move on to the half. Eddie, you do, most of these races. Where does this 10K fit in terms of 10Ks that you enjoy? I know the 10Ks were just introduced last year, but you've done several of them now in Disneyland and Disney World.
Disneyland 10Ks are 1,000 times better than the Disney World 10Ks.
Mm-hmm.
You get two parks and all on Disney property. This is just, it's just a filler. It's a really sad 10K course. I mean, I just don't like it because you spend 5K running nothing. I mean, there's nothing special about this 5K. It's the first 5K or the first half of the 10K is like any place you could run, other than they throw a Disney character here and there. So, I don't know what they could do other than, in my mind, I wish there was somehow they could start us in Wild World of Sports and run us all the way from there through studios and down. But, yeah, that's a pipe dream, I guess, but for logistics reasons. But, yeah, this is a very boring 5 or 10K, just like the marathon weekend.
Yeah, I'm hoping that in the future they mix it up and have an alternative 10K, but there's obviously reasons why they while they do that. All right, let's move on to the half marathon. And I want to talk to Kathleen. And Kathleen, I want you to talk to us about what you did the day before the half marathon. You know, what was going through your mind, how you planned everything, what your schedule was as the day went on, the night before. We want you to tell our audience, as a first-time half marathoner, what that experience was like.
Well, it was interesting because I saw that Disney had offered the pasta in the parks, but I was worried that everything would be too late because I wanted to be in bed by 8 o'clock the latest. And I didn't really know how that could possibly happen by doing the pasta in the park. So I sort of made up my own version of carbo loading. And we did a slow day. We did the morning in Hollywood Studios on Saturday. And then we decided to head to the Polynesian for dinner. And we had a 5 o'clock ADR for the Polynesian. And we left Hollywood Studios and made it gingerly to the Polynesian and got there way early for our ADR just to relax and sort of just chill. My mom and I were actually enjoying Pinterest in the lobby of the brand new lobby of the Polynesian. And after dinner, we headed straight back to our resort, and we actually watched Big Hero 6 on my laptop and went to sleep. I probably got to sleep around maybe 9 o'clock, which is the earliest I've ever been to bed in Disney World ever. And then I was just so afraid of waking up on time and not making it to the bus. So that was pretty much just relaxing, slow day the day before.
So what time did you get up?
I set my alarm for 2 because I was afraid that I would sleep through it. So I set it for 2 and then 2:15 just in case. And I ended up waking up at 2:15 and took a shower and tried to wake myself up that way. And I was
You took a shower before running a half marathon.
Well, I wanted my hair to look right. But
that's awesome.
That is fantastic. Just in case I got my picture taken. But it ended up being humid and my hair didn't dry properly anyway. So it was a waste of time. But I wanted to be like excited and fresh and ready to go. So I also didn't want to wake up my mom too much. Because I didn't want her to have to get up at 2:30, because that's just ridiculous talk for her to have to wake up too. But she ended up staying awake anyway because she was excitedly nervous too. So that was fun. And I left my room around 10 minutes to 3. And I had met a girl on the expo bus on Thursday that was her first half marathon as well. So we got each other cell phone numbers and texted each other and said we'd meet at 3 o'clock at our resort bus stop. So we met at 3 o'clock and traveled over together, which was really cool to have someone go with me.
That was cool. And how are your butterflies? Any butterflies? Or are you pretty confident at this point?
I think the night's previous to that, I kept having nightmares that, like, I actually had a really funny nightmare on Friday night that I got up for the course and made it, and then I fell asleep on the course. And then I woke up in Run Disney, like, they were, like, poking me and saying, you missed it. And I was like, I don't think that's possible. But
yeah, there's so many times I see sleeping runners on the side. That's funny.
Not at all. But no, that morning I was fairly confident that I was just all excited about everything I was seeing and all the experiences that I was experiencing. So I was trying to more focus on someone very wise once told me that I should just take it all in and experience everything before you get too nervous. Although everyone around me might disagree with that statement. They probably would say that I was crazed for the last few weeks, but I think I took it all in and was excited about it.
That's cool. Now, I know Eddie often gets up at 2 and washes his hair before for pictures, too. Eddie, what was the temperature like on the morning of the half?
Oh, much more enjoyable than the day before. Now, I was in short sleeves and shorts, and no issues for me staying or getting cold. I was perfectly fine.
Eddie, I've run several of the Princess Half Marathon races, and every year it's a little bit different. They do. I know one year that when we got into the TTC, I don't think Michelle ran it that year. I remember running, and there were two We got into the TTC, and then they said, those of you who like rock and roll music, go to the left. Those of you who like country music, go to the right. And they sort of had speakers and lined up, and they had that type of music, whatever you wanted to. And they had a few other things. Did you notice anything different about this year's half marathon course? Was there any difference in the theming? Did they have, you know, again, a ton of princes out there on World Drive? Did they have anything that you noticed?
I want to say that as far as the course goes, I think the World Drive session was identical to everything last year. I don't think, in matter of fact, identical to almost every year I've run it. You know, the pirate boat, the hero type character, the princess, the prince. You get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. Who was on the balcony behind the castle?
On the balcony behind the castle, I believe, was Anna and Elsa.
Oh, good.
I believe. I'm pretty sure that's
right.
What.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just as they were for the January race weekend.
Mm. And I mean, this course is very, very similar. You had around the speedway. They had a Wreck-It Ralph out there, which I believe they were out there marathon weekend.
Yep.
In the same spot. When you made your right, they had all the evil queens and villains were to your right, right in the parking lot, right before you're getting to TTC. You enter the park. They had the DJ above the bridge, the water bridge, who, with the big hand, as always, who's a staple at just about every one of the races on that course. And in the park, they had Buzz Lightyear in Tomorrowland, which is, I mean, it's almost the exact same characters for marathon weekend and this Princess weekend. Just a little subtle difference. But the Princess weekend race, I think, the only character I did not notice, and maybe Kathleen can help, I did not see Prince Mickey or Princess Minnie, which had a humongous line last year.
I didn't notice them, no.
So I didn't see them. And they were, last year they were tucked in Fantasyland. Did not see them there this year.
So, Eddie, I have a question for you about what you were just talking about. As somebody who does a lot of races, do you think it's feasible, and do you think Run Disney should consider really changing the characters for different iterations of the same race? So do you think that every princess should have different characters to cater to people who come back again and again?
I think that would be a carrot to draw people back. I mean, I think that Run Disney is now running into a situation where a lot of us have been doing repeat races, and maybe, you know, we don't want to do the same race again unless there's something new there. I would like to see, for instance, Eddie was talking about Minnie and Mickey. I think what they should do, Eddie, tell me what you think of this. So, you know, when we run past the speedway and you run to the right of the teacups, right there should be something that says, go to the right, Princess Minnie. Go to the left, Prince Mickey. I think that would be something interesting I would like to see.
I agree with something like that. I think all these Disney races should do something unique that makes that race different from all the other races.
Yeah.
You know,
Each individual race.
Mm-hmm. Because I'll be honest with you, this is my fourth time running it, and it's starting to run together. Because there's not that many differences to it.
All right, newbie, let's see what your experience was. We don't want you to get jaded.
No.
Because I think it's a great race. I think the repeatability.
I think it's Kathleen's new at this, and all of us have done these races before. I was just curious what you thought. So anyway, Kathleen, can you tell us what your experience was like running your first half marathon?
It was really an interesting experience. I'll give like a quick little overview. When I got to like mile six, I realized that I was fine and I was able to finally enjoy it. So you were speaking about characters along the course, and all I remember from the first half of the course was the big giant pirate ship, because I was so like focused on my running and not really paying attention. I did take a picture of every single mile marker, but not me at the mile marker, just running by it, because I was afraid to stop because I didn't know how my timing was going. And then when I got into the Magic Kingdom, I realized that I was okay. it was neat to see all the characters. I did get into a huge bottleneck. I think someone from the Mickey Milers actually timed it. We were stuck looking at Anna and Elsa for 7 or 8 minutes. We were stuck behind that castle. I was actually excited that they had just given a tissue out. So I was like, yay, I can blow my nose while I wait. But we were stuck back there for a little while, and that was a little frustrating.
Can you just clarify, going through the castle where they were, you could not get through the castle, or you were waiting in line for a character?
No, there were just so many people at that point that we literally were in this crazy bottleneck where we were standing around as like little tiny groups of people would go through the castle.
I've never heard that.
And I didn't know if that was a normal thing, but it was. Someone from the Milers counted it was either 7 or 8 minutes that we waited by the carousel trying to get into the castle.
Wow, that is amazing.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
So this is where I wish, if I'd had that, I think I'd have lost my mind and gone to the right.
You're right, Eddie. You're absolutely right.
I didn't know if I could see people doing that, but I wondered if people were doing that. But I was like, there's got to be another way to get through here. But I have like 8 pictures of Anna and Elsa, like a foot closer. Like I was like every foot I would get, I would take another picture just to like remind myself that that's how long it took to get through. But once we got through, it was fine.
And what's your experience is by far the worst I've ever heard of it backing up at the castle. And I've run at all different speeds, but I ran the same race way in the back of the pack, and we didn't have nearly that kind of issue getting through. So there's an issue right now with the bottlenecking. That right there is just, it shouldn't happen.
I'm glad you're saying that because I had no idea that didn't happen.
No, I ran it very, very slow last year and never had that issue. Not like that. I mean, we were tight going through, but we were moving.
We actually
at our own speed.
In January, that was an issue too. Not as much, but it was kind of frustrating because you get to the castle area and about 10 yards from the castle, it basically stopped. And we were trying to figure out, you know, what to do. And you know, again, there's another situation where they should give you an option. Do you want to go by the castle? Do you want to go to the right? Go down there, you know?
So, Kathleen, after you got through that terrible bottleneck, can you tell us what the last half of your race was like what you felt like when you got to, like, mile 12?
It was really fun to see the characters. Oh, I wish I could remember, like Eddie, who I saw everywhere. But I totally blanked on it. It was just so overwhelming. But I got really excited, and I got probably to mile 9, and I ran into a friend, and we decided to do the rest of the course together. She was struggling a little bit. She had done the 10K the day before, and so we sort of cheered each other on. Once I got to the overpasses, the first off-ramp that you go, I wish I could remember roads, but all of you probably know where I'm talking about. As we were running over the overpass, we saw the last group of people get swept. That was a scary experience for me, like, oh goodness, I'm watching this happen. Maybe I should speed up my game a little bit, not realizing that it was probably 8 minutes in front of them, so I was fine. But it definitely put a little pep in my step for a few steps. At that point, the sun was really warm, and as I mentioned earlier, I trained in like between 11 and 20 degrees, so I wasn't really used to like 66 degrees. And I was wearing black pants, which probably wasn't so smart, but I was a little warm, but it was a fun course. I loved seeing things backstage that I'd never gotten the opportunity to see. And entering Epcot was like an amazing experience because I think I started to cry a bunch of times and tried to hide it from my friend Brittany. But at one point I was just like, forget it. Why not? Just let her know that I'm excitedly crying right now. And I'm so proud that I'm actually going to do this. And we cheered each other on the last 2 miles, like, come on, we can do this. We got this. And then I would do the same for her. And just seeing Epcot and watching all the folks that were actually people at the parks stopped for us to cross through. That was pretty, I kept saying, I'm sorry, we're holding you back. But they never stopped us, which was wonderful. They left us going through, and the folks that were there cheering us on, as well as park goers, were cheering us on too. But the signs I saw that people made, I saw a really neat sign that said there's a cupcake and beer at the end. I was like, oh, that's exciting. Let's go. I heard a story of someone wanting to run in to see if they could run to France and grab something from the boulangerie there. But I was like, no, I'm going to stay on the course and keep going. And then running across the finish line was probably the most amazing thing. My mother, I had texted my mom a bunch of times throughout the course, and she said that she saw me cross, but it was so, at the end of the course, to find her was so difficult. But she was so excited to see me cross. She texted me as I crossed the finish line saying she saw me do it. So it was neat to see that too. But it was great. I followed everyone that was running the race with me through the text messaging, so I would see as people would cross different points where they were, and cheering them on as well. So that was exciting. And my friend's husband did a sub 3 hour half marathon, which we were probably at mile 9 or 9.5 at the time when we got the text message saying Sam had crossed the finish line, and we both started to cry. We were so excited for him. So it was a cool experience. Everyone is so positive, and it was just a great place to be at the time.
That's great. So tell us what it was like when you got your medal.
I think I actually found the person who put my medal on me on Facebook in a group that I belong to. I remembered her name, and when she put my medal on, I started to cry, and I was like, thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for being here. And I think she found me, or I found her in the group later, and she said that she was grateful. Not everyone says thank you, so she remembered me saying thank you. But I guess a lot of people, their first time, cry. I guess it's such an emotional thing, but
That's totally normal. Totally normal. So don't worry.
Oh, definitely.
I was proud eventually. I think the text message picture that Kim Sharoff sent you was me and her, me crying, and of her at the end of the race. So yeah, I own those tears at the end.
That's great. And of course, you wore your medal around the parks for the rest of the day.
Yes. And I got cheers everywhere I went. I wore them the next day on the plane, and I wore it the next day to school. And my superintendent was cheering me on when I got back to school on Tuesday, and that was a cool experience. He was pretty impressed with the medal, and it was a cool day.
Have you taken it off yet?
Oh, yeah. I haven't taken it out of my school bag. I leave it in my school bag because I work in a high school, so it's a really great conversation piece to tell kids that they can do anything if they set their mind to it. And it's been a really great experience. Every once in a while, someone will call me and say, hey, do you have your medal? Can you come to my classroom? And it's pretty cool.
And your life will never be the same.
No, definitely has not. I'm amazed that I can say I'm a half marathoner. I never thought that I'd be able to, but I think the spark started a couple years ago from you, Mike, whenever you spoke about it on another podcast. You inspired
what
me.
What podcast is that?
I don't know. Some other podcast. But I knew in the back of my mind eventually I was going to do it. And
that's awesome.
My friends and I were speaking immediately afterwards, like, we would like to do it again, but I think next year we would like to try a different race, even though it's the same course. We would like to try the marathon weekend half, so maybe in January we'll go back and do that.
Add another 50,000 people and you'll know what it's like.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Before we wrap it up, we wanted to make sure that we talked to Eddie about the meetup that you hosted, and we want to thank you for hosting that meetup. So how did it go, Eddie?
Oh, excellent. Found a new place. We went to the Wave, and the Wave is such a great place to hang out and talk, especially around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's kind of dead in there, and they have these alcoves. So everybody, it was a great friendly environment, and we had, 20 to 30 people show up. So we pretty much took it over, and the bartender was very thankful to have a crowd. But It was great, and you know, the meetups, if you hear of them, you should come, because they're very friendly, very welcoming. It's a great way to meet people, and yeah, I mean, it was just we had a good group, and got to meet a lot of people, and even had Fitz Kohler stop by for a few minutes.
Awesome.
At the end.
Oh, nice. So, that's nice. Yeah, you don't have to be a Mickey Miler to go to them, but we have over 300 people now, almost 350 people on the Mickey Miler. So thank you so much, Eddie, for doing that. Well, it's been quite a pleasure, Eddie, as always, to speak with you. You're always our go-to guy, and we really appreciate it. And Kathleen, so proud of you. I really enjoyed following your progress, and it was just... I got a thrill when I saw the notification that you finished. I had tears in my eyes. Yep. I know what a life changer it is, and yes. You worked really hard for it, and so huge congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So for half marathoner Kathleen Pantaleo, for million half marathoner Eddie McCoy,
and somebody who inspires many other people, Eddie
definitely, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.